I pray this morning that he'd revive his followers. If you're a follower, put your hand up. I pray he'd revive you. I pray those of us that are needing deliverances from the Egypts in our lives, for the church to mature, for us to deliver. Father, I pray this morning. Say, I am the church. Amen. Man, I pray you hear, I'm going to use two tones today. I'm going to work my very best. But the roots of our faith are very important. Jesus is the Messiah because he was promised to be so. Right? He delivered because it was promised. He didn't have to do that. He made a deal with Abram. Remember? God makes deals with individuals. Things change. Deliverance was a promise and a covenant that God set up with individuals. God has relationship with individuals. What's holding you back? Having a relationship isn't going to be coming to church. Having a relationship is seeking it with all your heart, soul, and strength. Remember when you were dating somebody you thought was off the chain? You didn't sleep. You didn't. You could talk. You only got 4 minutes of sleep. You drove miles. You worked jobs. You had to serenade her. Her mom had to throw you off the stairs. Go home, kid. Right. But when you want a relationship, you seek it, man. He's looking for seekers right now, like nobody's business. Seekers, right? Relationships with individuals, Jen. Deep Root Season 1 was about Abraham. Deep Root Season 2 was about Jacob, not Villarreal, though there are analogies. The Old Testament is a bunch of God's OGs, original gangsters, original guys. For those who are offended by the term gangster on stage, you may be offended by a lot of things today. Have many promises, right? He had many promises and lessons and parallels that apply to us today in 2023. The Old Testament is not irrelevant. It's actually, it's our deep roots. It's where our deep roots come from. So I'm going to watch my tone. Listen, I almost did 1 Corinthians before this. Can you imagine? If you read 1 Corinthians, you're like, oh, thank you, Pastor, for not doing that. We're not mature enough for that yet. We're just 18. You know. Moses was a big deal. Arguably, maybe the biggest deal of all the original guys. One of the biggest deals. Moses was such a big deal, God groomed him and pruned him and set him apart to be his chosen deliverer. He was set to be a deliverer. And it's something that the Hebrews never forgot. And it's one of the most fantastic stories of all time. He was used as a deliverer. He was used to establish law and order, not the show on TV, not the Law and Order show, but law and order. They were just the people, rough, you know, they knew their history. They had relationships. They had their great-grandpa had this relationship. The reason we're so blessed today, the reason we're multiplying is because that dude, yeah, we moved because of that guy. And why are we in Egypt? Because that man. All right, we know that God did it, so give him what he asked for. Everyone, yeah, we'll do that. But there was no other order to it. And all of a sudden, Moses shows up, meets with God. God says, go deliver Israel, and I'm going to give you some law and order for the people. And they live to that, to this day. The Hebrews live by his law and order. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew is pretty much doing a documentary. Like documentaries, that's what the Gospels are. The documentaries from live witnesses, you know. They would have the camcorder on, that would have been awesome. Because I really think Jesus was much browner than they portray him to be. So I do. Jesus was on his final walk to Jerusalem. He had a job to finish, right? And then he decided to connect on that way to that final job. The one he's given to give his life for all mankind. He's going to take on the sin of the world. He's going to be mocked, humiliated, beaten. It's the most horrible things are about to happen. And before he does that, he takes a road trip with his closest disciples. And they go meet a couple people. He decides to connect with Moses. What? Jesus thought Moses was a big enough deal. So Moses had been gone from the earth for at least 1,400 plus years. 1,400 plus years Moses had been gone. Elijah had been gone a little bit less long than that, but still probably about 1,000 years. And all you have in this moment, we're going to read about it, Mount of Transfiguration, they call it, from where I grew up. You know, it's the Mount of Transfiguration. Churches are built up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, where heaven connects with earth. Not only is heaven and earth connected at that time, I want you to see a picture. Moses was the law. Elijah was the prophets. Jesus was grace. They needed to have a powwow way because he was about to finish it. I want to take all the law and I'm going to fulfill it. I want to take all the Spirit of God and I'm going to share it. And then I'm going to be the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies, we sang this morning. By the blood of the Lamb, what's that mean? They would have to sacrifice a pure blood lamb before they are allowed to go in the stack of the temple. Something had to die. And Jesus said, from now on, I'm going to be the one that dies. So you never have to. And on his way there, he meets with Moses. That's pretty impressive stuff. It's cool. It's where the Old Testament and the New Testament combine. Moses was a deliverer. So this is Deep Roots, Season 3, Episode 1. But we're going to fast forward 1,400 years from Moses. I want to set the stage with this. Jesus, the promised deliverer, he's traveling. He is traveling, right? Not in comfort either. You know, we had a nice rental car. We couldn't figure how to get in and out of it. And it was very, it was all buttons. And we drive a 2010. So we were, you know, but Jesus didn't travel very nicely. He traveled everywhere. And he taught when he traveled. He was only just traveling, like, you know, I'm just going to hang out at the Sea of Galilee. Why just kick it, you know? Just get a little sun in Utsia. Just going to lay down. No, he was teaching. And then on top of that, he was healing. And all while that's going on, you know what's going on with Jesus also? Troubles. Rome hates him. The religious leaders hate him. Absolutely hate him. The Gentiles, sometimes he's like, hey, we can get in the kingdom. Other times you're calling us dogs. What? I'm confused. Right? And his own fellas, say his own fellas. Ever have your own fellas give you trouble? Come on, if you ever had fellas, you have had your own fellas give you trouble. I thank God he sent me the deliverer. Right, Matthew 16, let's pick it up here in Scripture. Matthew 16, 24 through 26, where I left off, interestingly enough, last we spoke. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself. Are there any disciples? What is he asking you to do? Man, Jesus has got things to say before he goes to the cross. He's got to finish some words. He's got to finish some things. And not only that, he must deny himself and take up his cross, express a willingness to endure whatever. Man, I have a hard time not enduring air conditioning. You know, get up at 6. I'll just sleep at 7:15. Hurry on here. A willingness to endure whatever. That's, I think, something I need to work on. How about you? If you're the church, I don't know. I mean, I need to work on the what, enduring whatever. There's things I can endure that you can't endure, and there's things I can't endure. Yeah, and if you travel with me, you know those things. You know, I'm working on it. Expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, check it out, conforming to my example in living, how I'm showing you live, all these gospels, how I'm living, how I'm rolling, what's valuable to me, what's important to me, how I express to God, how I meet with people, how I deal with religious things, how I, in your life, you should be living like Jesus if you're a Christian. Imperfect. Stop judging each other about their imperfect walk. Start judging your own walk. Golly, Moses, I hate that so much. Golly, Moses, John, I got, sorry, Moses. Conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it. Whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. Check it out. For what will it profit a man? What's a man going to gain? Well, if you don't do those things, what is your takeaway? What are you going to leave this earth with? What is your claim to fame? What is your going to look like? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Wealth, fame, success, and forfeits his soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you going to bargain for? You get there, you got nothing. What are you going to give to the creator of the universe when it comes to bargaining time? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus had some hard conversations. He had his hard conversations with his true followers. You know, he got edgy sometimes. Called him little faith, fools sometimes. Now check it, near the end, he gets torqued with them. He had a tone. But he had hard conversations. How many know that hard conversations are needed sometimes? Ever had a hard conversation? Someone sit you down and have a hard conversation? You might go, "Don't talk to me. You don't know me, don't judge me, not yet." And then like years later you go, "Man, no, he was right. Well, stupid idiot I was. I was 21, I thought I knew everything, you know. I gotta go back and apologize to that guy. Anybody to apologize to? Oh yeah, I'm in the right church this morning. I love it here." How many know hard conversations are needed sometimes, right? Sometimes God tries to have hard conversations with his bride. Sometimes God has hard conversations with his bride. Say, "I'm the church." Has he ever had hard conversations with you? If you don't let him have a hard conversation with you, you will never be what you're supposed to be. And you may default be on the wrong side. So Jesus, as he draws closer to his death, burial, and resurrection, he starts giving out everything. Everything he's got to say, he's just giving it out. Jesus, right in the middle of teaching, and all this controversy, speeding towards Calvary, he said, "Hold on, road trip. What? I'm taking Ronnie, Bobby, Jimmy, and Mike. You know, I'm taking my crew. I'm taking the close guys to me. God bless you. I'm taking those guys." And so, and right there, I can stop or read it. Right there, that's offensive. Why are you taking those guys? I'm a disciple. I'm Matthew. Matthew's name not in there. Taking James and John again. Why is he like Miley so much? Because Miley dies when she's supposed to herself, and she comes after God. Amen. Yeah. And I've seen it. That's why I like her so much. Matthew 17, 1 through 3. So 6 days later, after Jesus had been traveling, preaching, dealing with angry peeps and knuckleheads, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and he led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Say, God meets with individuals. Mm-hmm. And as, check it out, and his appearance changed dramatically in their presence. All of a sudden, you're just on a hike. You're up the Silly Mountain. Boom. Right. Okay, Lord, we're getting away from those guys. They're driving us crazy too, Lord. They got a million questions. I don't think Philip bathes. It's got says your shoes. You know, let's get up the mountain. You know, let's get up to Pine Top and hang out a bit. Let's go, Lord. And then all of a sudden on this trip, his appearance changed dramatically in their presence. And his face shone like the sun. And his clothing became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. Don't tell me the deep roots of our faith aren't very important. If the whole gospel means both Old and New Testament. Blessed are the man who can bring the old and the new together. That's what Jesus was trying to do. He's not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. He's saying, you're doing a bad job cleaning the baby. First of all, let me do that. Yeah. Let's work on the baby. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Jesus brings heaven and earth together. He brings law and the prophet and spirit together. Jesus brings deliverance and freedom. Those are two different things. You can be delivered from a situation and still not be free. We'll talk about it more. I see it's touchy. There was a deliverer, but Jesus is the deliverer. So, you know, you can get delivered from a situation and still not be free. Someone can get you out of something you got yourself into, but doesn't mean you can take the, I say this a lot about myself, I should be careful. You can take the boy out of the hood, but it's hard to take the hood out of the boy. You can be taken out of a situation, but inside you're still in a situation. Free from one thing, delivered from one thing, but not free from it, right? All have sinned. We all need deliverance. All have. How about this one? All have and, you ready? All do. All have and all do. There was only one who did not, say Jesus. That's why he's Jesus, right? Yeah, can we unpause my song clip for a second? I just feel like I need another break. Where's my assistant? Yeah, I need another, just a little, I need a dose. Is it hooked up? Do we need to skip? Go ahead, give me a piece. I needed him. Oh, crank it up for me. We're going to be interruptive. I want to be interruptive. Father, we need you like nobody's business. Father, the church needs you like it never has before. We need deliverance and freedom so we can be deliverers. You can pause it. God promised a deliverer. He promised one. You know what's great about God? He keeps his promises. God keeps his promises sincerely. If you've not encountered Jesus, this is your season. I don't care if you grew up in the church. Doesn't mean you encountered Jesus. I don't care if you got set free from a situation. You got healed, delivered. Doesn't mean you've encountered Jesus and you had an encounter with Jesus. Are you following the one you encountered? Since God has been speaking and delivering all these years, and he has been. Anybody been delivered? Let me just see the delivered. I want to see the delivered. Yeah, thank you. He's been delivering all these years, Jen. You know what? I think it's time we deliver now. I think it's time we deliver. He's been asking stuff of us. It's time we deliver. Keep calling somebody who doesn't deliver. You're going to stop calling on them. I love you, God, but every time I call on you, I can't count on you. This isn't even the message, Jazz. Don't even stress it. But you and me, it's time to go on some delivery assignments. Right? Season 3, Deep Roots, Moses, a deliverer. Moses is seen as deliverer for many, but he was just a deliverer. Plus, when I say Moses, there's one of three types of people in the room today. When I say Moses, you'll see this. Some of you see, when I say Moses, you picture that. Oh, yeah, that's your generation. Oh, yeah, Prince of Egypt. Moses. And he and Pharaoh in this were friends at times. I don't know if it worked. Then some people see this. Yeah, that's my boy, Charles, and that's Moses. That's how I grew up, with Moses. Right? And then some of you are real freaks, and you might see this. That's Moses Malone. Yeah, you know, if Doc Husband was here, he'd go, that's the guy. Moses. But Moses, for the Jewish people, was their greatest patriarch. He delivered them from Egypt. Moses established them as a legitimate people when they just were a ragtag bunch of... Moses was the man. Knuckle somebody, say Moses was the man. Moses was the man. Moses was the man. Say Egypt. Egypt. Let's talk about Egypt. Egypt is comfortable in what was supposed to be temporary. They had a promised land they were supposed to be at, but they got into Egypt originally and like, woo, we are living good. Egypt's got everything we need. There's a Walmart there in Egypt. Amazon's in Egypt. Oh my goodness, air conditioning in Egypt. Oh, my currency in Egypt is very good. Why? Because Joseph. And they got comfortable. And the strange thing about getting comfortable, it often leads to the next thing. They got enslaved. Right? Egypt would do that to you. Egypt will get you. It lures you in. What was supposed to be maybe a moment of reprieve. And you got so comfortable that you're enslaved again. There are many figurative Egypts in this world. There are many seasons that we as people go through Egypts in our lives. And we often say this, right? I don't know if you say it, but we always say, why are God's people stuck in Egypt again? Why are they stuck again? Didn't God? Why? I want us to ask the question to ourselves. Why are you stuck? What's your Egypt? Oh, watch your tone, Pastor. Because here's something I want to say really sweetly. We learned last Sunday that if we as individuals grow, it causes the body to grow. It says if we as individuals mature, it causes the body to mature. So I want you to take some solace in this too. If you are stuck, then the church is stuck. If you're stuck, then the church is stuck. And I think it's time we get unstuck. Well, the only one that can unstick us. It's time to get unstuck again. Time to leave Egypt. I want to say that Jesus gets edgy. You know, his tiny, faint-hearted friends. Talking chief said to me, you need changes of tone sometimes, Pastor. Say sometimes. Sometimes you need to change your tone. Sometimes when I say to my little dog, Malo, stop, he doesn't stop. Cut it out. That doesn't work sometimes. But if I unleash some guttural, primal, alpha male sound, it doesn't have to be a word. Ugh! He's like, oh, okay. Just say something next time, bro. Sometimes you got to change your tone, right? Egypt's a trap. There was drama between Joseph and his brothers. That's how they ended up there. And that made me think about this. Sometimes family's got issues. Even in the family of God, there's issues. Anybody? I counsel for a living. Touch me, there's issues. Some of your issues, this is going to be tender. Hold somebody's hand if you're tender. Some of your issues started before you were even born into your family. Some of the issues you got stuck in were none of your choosing. But you got raised up in some issues. Right? So seriously, ask yourself this question. You want to untake the hand now. This isn't going to be so tender. Why are you still living in some of it? Why are you still living in some of it? Don't ask the person next to you. I put that in there. Don't have them ask. It could cause a fist fight somewhere. But let's take several weeks and walk with Moses, a deliverer. This is season 3 of Deep Roots. This is where our Christian faith and Jesus met together and decided to launch something great in the hearts of his people, and he wants to do it again. Jesus wants to do it again. Exodus 1, 6 through 7. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the Israelites were prolific and increased greatly. Do you know why? The covenant promise. He said, hey, your ancestors are going to have kids upon kids. You're going to become a nation. That's what he said. So why are they prospering? Because God said. They multiplied and became extremely strong so that they filled the land. Wow, they filled the land. Exodus 1, 8 through 9. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph nor the history of his accomplishments. And he said to the people, behold. Let me paraphrase before I finish reading. Keep it up, though. Behold, we used to be a God-accepting nation, but the times, they're changing. Read it slow. Okay. Behold, we used to be a God-accepting nation, but the times they are a-changing. Behold, the people of the sons of Israel, they are too many, too mighty for us, and greatly outnumber us. So Pharaoh, naturally, what he decided to do, he goes, I'm going to oppress them. And I'm going to oppress them. I'm going to take their money. I'm going to take their dignity. I'm going to take everything they have, and I'm going to crush them like bugs. But you know what happened? It didn't work. People kept thriving. God's people kept thriving even under adversity. It's time we thrive under any condition. It is time we get out of Egypt. It is time we get a thriving mentality. I'm not going to name it, claim it, garbage. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a mentality that says, it's not enslaving me anymore. I don't care, I grew up in it. But it's so hard. And tell you, Utsia is hard without AC. It really is. It's hard. But you can thrive anyways. You can thrive anyways under adversity. So the world leader says this. He says, all right, they're thriving. I'm oppressing them. I'm making life hard for these guys. So this is what we're going to do. Here's a new policy in Egypt. We're going to kill all the baby boys. Sometimes government policy is garbage. And don't be a sheep when it's that time. Well, we're the church. We should have a backbone. We should have something that we stand for. The world leader said, kill the baby boys. Pick up in Exodus 2. Now the man, 2, 1 through 2. Now the man of the house of Levi went and took his wife and daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and gave birth to a son. She delivered a deliverer. Sometimes that's your part, man. Every part supplies. She played her part. She birthed a deliverer at a time when you shouldn't be birthing a deliverer. And when she saw that he, oh, that's a problem. It is under this edict. Anything under 3, anything you feel like, kill that baby. And she saw that he was beautiful and healthy, and she hid him for 3 months to protect him from the Egyptians. Because the edict was kill the baby boys. Egypt was systematically, socially, and morally opposed to God. They're accepting at one point in time. Joseph came in, he blessed things. Pharaoh's like, this dude knows something. Whatever he's got says to do, do it. La 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 la. Egypt cool. We're very, very cool. And all of a sudden happened. So Egypt was systematically, socially, and morally opposed to God. Can you imagine that a society like that even exists? Shocking. Right? Are you shocked that a society could have morals that are opposite of God, and they would try to teach them to our young people every possible moment? That's shocking to me. Can you imagine a society opposed to God, his ways, and to his people? So watch your tone, Pastor. I feel like there's a little sarcasm there. Yeah, I'll back that up. But there was a little sarcasm there. Do you know that Jesus, the deliverer, did a stint in Egypt too? He did some time in Egypt. But ponder this, though. I wonder if all of us are spending some time in Egypt. Maybe we've all done time in Egypt and we don't even realize we're stuck there, right? It's time to trust the deliverer again. It's time to trust the deliverer again. So ask yourself, are you living in some kind of Egypt in your life? What do you trust in? I mean, really trust in. What's going to rescue your soul? Well, the church, no. Well, this person, This is a seek God season. Because you're a deliverer and you are the church. So it's time we get out of Egypt. Right. Please consider, it could be your time to call out again. For time's sake, I want to paraphrase Exodus 2, 3 through 8. It's not on the thing, so don't stress it. But I feel it's important. So I'm going to catch up the Moses story. You ready? Mom put him in a basket, right? And then the daughter of Pharaoh came along and watched. You know, the daughter of the sister of Moses watched where the basket was going. And it ends up at Pharaoh's court. And some princess finds Moses. And she opens it and she took pity on the child. She said this, this is one of the Hebrew children. Let's say this is one. One child can make all the difference in the world. Just one. This one person, you don't know the one person who's been waiting for you. I guarantee he's got one in your life. He's got one. Because God works with individuals, right? And then his sister, you know, said, hey, I know a lady who'll take care of this baby for you, princess. Like, yeah, she's got milk producing everything, you know, because you all killed the other babies. So We got a lot of women out here that are sad. But I got someone for you. So the cool thing about that is, here's Moses, going to be raised in Egypt, but he's also going to have Hebrew influence. His roots weren't taken from him. He didn't spend full time there. He just spent a moment, but it was a long enough moment that mama put something in there. It'll come out later. Mama can put a love for God in your heart. Dads, you should be doing the same. Right? Moses grew up living in Egypt. He was treated as and had all the privileges of Egyptian living. Raised in the ways and perceptions and expectations, perspectives of Egypt. But he was Hebrew. He grew up living in the upper level of society, palace life. You know, palace life is where most of us get comfortable. Most of us stay stuck. We seek comfort. This is the human pattern behavior. Seek comfort and die and never fulfill your destiny. That's the loop. If you seek comfort, you're never going to finish your destiny. The road to destiny isn't paved with comfort, though there are comforts, but it's not paved with comfort. It's not. Say, sometimes a hard conversation is needed. Only sometimes. Exodus 2, 11 through 12. One day, after Moses had grown into adulthood, it happened that he went to his countrymen and looked with compassion at their hard labors. So he's out there checking out the slaves, and he's feeling bad that they're out there. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his countrymen. He turned to look around, and seeing no one, hold on. Here's a note. You ready? Just because you don't see you're ugly doesn't mean other people do. Just because you don't see you're ugly doesn't mean God don't see you're ugly. No matter how you look around, you're still being under the watchful eye, right? He turned to look around, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and he hit him in the sand. And I was going to put a picture up of Robert De Niro and just go bada bing. To me, that was just a hit. Like, yeah. This guy's mug's roughing up one of his people. All right, rub him out, bury him in the sand. That's a De Niro move. You know, it is. Hardcore. So Moses is like, I got this guy. Punk. You know? And I had to think about it a little bit. It's weird to think about. But before this time, God's laws and God's orders, God's desires for humanity had not even been given yet. Yeah. Not only was he not serving God, but law and order had not even been given yet. Hey, just say it. It was part of Moses' job to write down what God said. And he was going to share stuff that was going to keep people free, not just deliver them. He was going to share stuff that was going to keep them free, not just deliver them. And so sometimes he had to go through some process, right? So once he delivered them, Israel's tribes, they lived based on covenants and promises and all those things. But at the beginning of that story, when I first read it and when I first got saved, I'm just being honest, I'm stepping off the pulpit down in here to my muck. When I first read that story, I don't know if you're like me, and Moses looked upon the suffering of the slaves and how they were mistreated by the Egyptians. And he smoked the dude. And I went, yeah. I did. When I first read it, I go, yeah, punk. Messing with God's people, smacking them around. And I first thought, get a bunch of other people, revolution! That's how I thought. You say you want a revolution. Yeah, let's go! Take down the man! That's how I felt built. I read it that way. I was like, man, what's wrong with Moses smoking that dude? He's a punk. But our ways that are following compliance with God's ways, doesn't matter how we feel, what we even think is just. Our ways are to follow in complete compliance with God's ways. Exodus 2, 13 through 15. If you don't know God's ways, ask. Don't ask me. Go ask him. How do I start? B-I-B-L-E. That's the tool for me. Right. Exodus 2, 13 through 15. He, Big Mo, went out the next day and saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. So now it's two Hebrew guys fighting each other. Boy, God's people fight so much. It's crazy, right? Yeah. Next day he saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other, and he said to the aggressor, "Why are you striking your friend?" You know, here's part of the problem. In that moment, this guy's going to respond. But you know why he responds? This is why. Most people don't want to be called out on their crap. They'll flip it, quit. He did. Was Moses wrong? No. But sometimes when people say hard things to us, do we hear hard things? Or do we respond back? Don't tell me a hard thing, because you remember when 1927 when you did this to me? I haven't forgotten. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. I just said, man, could you start getting your beard hairs out of the sink? You have to get all crazy like that. Settle down, Pastor. He said, "Why are you striking your friend?" But the man said, "Who made you prince and judge over us?" "My deliverer is coming. He's staring you in the face. But all you see is Moses." And that's all Moses sees right now, too. He hasn't met God yet. He just sees Moses. The man said, "Who made you prince over us?" It made me think of another point here for us people that have a tendency to give our opinions. Hey, Moses, did God ask you to get involved with that? Bada bing. Yeah, he talks about don't get involved with conversation. Sometimes you get involved in someone else's fights like grabbing two dogs by their ears. That's scripture. Here's Moses. Hey, you two, let me fix you two. Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Did you intend to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid. And he said, "Certainly this incident is known." Oh my goodness, right? When Pharaoh heard about the matter, he tried to kill Moses. I bet he was like, "I couldn't wait. My daughter brought this Hebrew kid, raised him in palaces, got to pamper him. Let's go get Moses." I think it was so Prince of Egypt-y. Then Moses fled from Pharaoh's presence and took refuge in the land of Midian, and where he sat down by a well. Say a well. He sat down by a well. I thank God for refuge wells moments in my life. Boy, they're important. Sometimes in the middle of you being run ragged by Egypt, you got to go find a well. You got to sit your butt down there. Get out of Egypt and get on a well. Dig one if you have to. But sometimes you need a well in your life. Moses is an outcast. He's on the run. He finds a well. He settles in for a great, peaceful shepherd family life. Say amen. Praise God. Brother Moses retired from dealing with Egypt. He got himself out. Man, now he can have a wife or more kids to the amplified. Land, sheep, chilling. Out in Midian. Right? Sounds beautiful. Moses escaped Egypt for the American dream. Say, bravo, sir. Bravo, sir. Here's a PSA from Midian. You know, I feel like Moses. He's going to send a telegraph back. You know, hey, y'all, I'm out of Egypt doing well by the well, and my wife's belly swells, so well. Peace. Moses is rapid. I'm out, man. Look at me. I'm thriving. Na, 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 na. And have kids. I'm a shepherd now. Egypt really, really sucks. You know? He's in. But Moses isn't seeing that his job is to deliver other people, not just himself. Boy, we get trapped in ourselves, don't we? A lot. We are self-trapped, self-absorbed. Egypt sometimes rests right between our ears. You don't got to go no place. Egypt, you bring it with you. Moses isn't just a deliverer. He's a deliverer of other people. That is, if you're a deliverer, say I'm the church. I'm called to deliver others as well. There's people in our lives that you can bring this much Jesus to. There are people trapped where you used to be trapped. Right? Do you know anybody who's trapped or used to be trapped? Anybody? Then you're spending too much time with Christian people. Does anybody know anybody else trapped in something you used to be trapped in? It has a problem, pride, anything in their life that you dealt with that God delivered you from? All right, four of us. That's great. 5, 6, 7, 8. Not that many people. Then the rest you need to go meet other people. Because God's asking something from you this season. This isn't just the season 3 of Deep Roots, Moses the Deliverer. This really is going to be leading us up to Jesus the Deliverer, where the curtain was torn. The Deliverer of he didn't just bring deliverance, he brought freedom forever. But if we just get trapped in the religious ceremony of all that, you'll miss the fact that the reason he did that set you free so you could be in eternity and then go back and be a deliverer. Deliver the gospel. Take it someplace. Do something with it. Give it away. Serve it as best you can. Don't force it in people's mouths. Serve it so they want to eat it. If you think you're debating anybody into the kingdom, you're not. You are not. You can love them into the kingdom with signs and wonders and by a surrendered life. If we're doing that, what the master asks, we got to get some work done, right? Say, I'm the church. And it's only 11:25. I got 15 more minutes. It seems like a long message today, isn't it, Jody? It's long, though. Does it feel it? Feel a little heavier? I think God wants to do something in us that he's never done before. And he's trying to squeeze us into position outside of our religious mindsets, out of what we think, expected. You know, I was taught you couldn't wear a hat in church. I wore it today for the first time ever if I preached in a hat that I know of in this church. The reason I did it, because I go, that's religious garbage. They said in back in the Old Testament, to wear a hat, cover your head in respect. And I watch what I promote up here. And the reason I wrote 48, this state, because GCU, Grand Canyon Christian University, Grand Canyon Christian University just made the NCAA tournament. And so I'm proud of those guys. God's doing something in a lot of places. And don't be surprised if I shake somebody else's chain too. I'm proud to be from Arizona, but I believe why I'm proud of it most is of my love our weather lately. Thank you, Lord. But I want to see us become the kind of state, kind of people that follow him again so hard. And he comes the most important thing. And it becomes about delivering. Everywhere. Where are your spheres of influence? Use them. Get involved with those things. Don't settle in Egypt. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't settle. Don't settle in Egypt. Don't settle in Egypt. Moses, he delivered them out of a mess. And sometimes, as a church, we stay in that comfort. And so I'm going to go to Exodus 2, 23 through 25. Now, it happened after a long time, after about 40 years, the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel groaned and sighed. Say, groaned. Groaned inside because of their bondage. Sometimes you got to feel it. When you're out of God's alignment in your life, it's good that you feel it. Right? It's good that flames hurt kids' hands. Why? Because if not, they'll keep it in the fire. Right? Pain is a really good deferrer of bad choices. So sometimes the thing we're complaining about, the groaning sighs that we've created of our own selves, is the pruning and correction of God in our life to do one thing, right? Get us back into the delivery system. Let's get back into the delivery system. It's time to get back in, right? So they groan inside because of their bondage. You got to feel it if you want out of it. And they cried out for help because of their bondage. Oh, no. Why did they cry out? Because of their bondage. And say they cried out because they wanted God. They just wanted relief. He was going to teach them a lesson that took a long time to learn in Egypt before he let them free. If you seek my blessing over my face, you miss the point. If you have my face, you have my blessing. But if all you want is deliverance out of every circumstance that you ever get in, then you're not really the church. And it's time we become the church. Mm-hmm. We are the church. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what we do. We don't cry out just because we said it this morning. You're good at all times. You are good. Good. Always. But my circumstance bites right now. But God is still good. Amen. Right? How am I supposed to thrive in these conditions? Well, make bricks without straw. Trust God. It'll happen. Their cries ascended to God, so God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and he took notice and was concerned about them. God keeps his promises. He corrects his children, and he keeps his promises. God knowing and understanding all things, remembering all things. So before episode 2 next week and the fire, the burning bush, the amazing things that God does, I'm going to ask if you need prayer. Pastor, if you'll come up. Because if we're going to be what we're called to be, we got to get there again with him and us again. Just he and you. So if you've got Egypts in your life and you need to get out of Egypt, I'm going to invite you to the front of the altar and to worship with us a little bit. If you've got Egypts that you're wrestling with, maybe it's circumstances, trials, troubles you brought in yourself, maybe it's mindsets. If you've got an Egypt, maybe there's something you're not free from. God can do miracles. Maybe you're addicted to something and you know that addiction's killing you and no one knows it. God can change that right now. I mean, that's great to see healed eyes and legs and little girls and people back from the dead. And those are wonderful things. But when God does something, a deliverance for someone who's been stuck in Egypt their whole life, and God brings them out of addiction and sets them free. If you've never been there, then you don't know what that's like. But if you need that, he's available. The same God who did it then can do it now. I don't know, maybe your hearts need to get poked to look to God again. Before we have communion, it says to get your heart right. It says you can't take of the bread with me and be part with me until your heart is right. Maybe you're a judger. Maybe you're such a Pharisee you can't even see it. Maybe you were raised in some family stuff. And you got hurt so bad and you don't know how to come out of it. And God wants to take you right out of it by the hand this morning and let you sit at his table with the rest of his saints and celebrate what Jesus did for your freedom. Maybe you got some family things you need healing up from. I invite you to come to the front. And those that don't need prayer, maybe you could extend your hands this way and worship with us and pray for us up front.